Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
To our new listeners, welcome. To our old listeners, welcome back. Another episode of Magical Education awaits you, but first, we would like to say a few words.
Nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak. Podcast 9¾, topic of the week is, why are the schools like that?
Hello listeners, I'm Rhea.
And I'm Jem, and today we need to talk about why the schools are like that in the Harry Potter universe. All of them.
Like, all of them. They're all weird, they've all got crazy shit going on with them. There's always one thing that doesn't make sense and doesn't add up.
I know. I always like thought it was just Hogwarts was kind of a wackadoodle school where weird stuff happens and it's very unsafe and all that sort of stuff. And then I actually thought about the other schools that we hear about in that series, and I was like, hold on a second.
Yeah.
It's not that unusual.
Yeah, I specifically remember you pitching this episode to me, and this would have been years ago, as like,
yeah.
I don't think Hogwarts is exceptional. I think every other school in the world, including all the Muggle schools, are exactly as weird as Hogwarts, and we need to talk about that at some point. And me being like, Jem, your brain. Genius. Brilliant.
Ugh, her mind.
Show me what's inside there.
So, I mean, we've covered Hogwarts before. Like, it's a WHS nightmare. Uh-huh. It's got legitimized bigotry with the house system. The teachers are unqualified. There's unjust and cruel punishments, and it's an unsafe school environment. Like, people die.
Fuck
like,
yeah, we have talked about all those things. This podcast is great.
Yeah, it's, we can skim over Hogwarts. We get it. We know what we're looking at with Hogwarts.
Hogwarts, we don't need to focus on that one right now.
I want to talk about the Muggle schools.
Okay.
If that's all right.
Yeah, let's start with the Muggle schools. I've got all the Wizarding schools as well, which I would like to go through. But yeah, let's start with the Muggles.
Let's start with St. Gregory's Primary School, which is where Harry and Dudley attended before 1991. Uh-huh. So during their primary school years.
Okay. First of all, great
name. Here's just some... Yeah, St. Gregory. Look, I don't know if that's meant to be Gregory, whatever.
Yeah, on the HP Wiki, it says that it's probably a reference to St. Gregory, who is the patron saint of students and teachers. But I just, yeah. I love the change from Gregory to Grogory. Like, why? Why would you do this?
I guess maybe it's to illustrate the school's not very good at spelling. I don't know.
It's a terrible school for stupid people.
Here's just some facts about things that occurred at St. Gregory's, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, Harry showed up to the school with broken glasses and ill-fitting clothes every day, and none of the teachers did anything about that. No one said a thing. No one sent any notes home. No one raised any eyebrows. Everyone was like, yep, whatever.
Yep.
We don't care. It's a bit odd
yeah.
to begin with.
So, I've just been, like, for my actual real-life job, I have just effectively read the entirety of all of the training and assessment materials for several different certifications in early childhood education and care. And holy yes. shit, there's about a million different violations of basic duty of care just in that.
Yep. Yep. It's pretty grim. But it fits into the narrative of this school. Dudley and his gang of bullies hunted Harry down and likely messed with other kids in the school, and no teacher or adult did anything.
Mm-hmm. Harry specifically noted to have no friends because everyone's afraid of Dudley's gang. Once again, these are a gang of, like, pre-11-year-olds.
Yeah, like, 7-year-old
yeah.
kids.
A gang.
And, like, no one's doing anything. And also, like, the teachers know. Like, when you... Like, I remember being in primary school. The teachers know who the bullies are. The teachers know the social dynamics mm-hmm. of the students to some extent. They'd be able to tell if there's a gang
yeah.
in the school terrorizing the other students.
Terrorizing, no one like, specifically one student that lives with the leader of the gang.
Yeah. And always looks like he's malnourished and abused.
Uh-huh.
Like, red flags everywhere. Alarm bells.
Yeah. Every teacher at this school sucks and is bad at their job.
When Harry was being chased by bullies and ended up on a roof, he got in trouble for climbing school buildings. The bullies did not get in trouble for chasing and scaring a child so much that from the teacher's POV, he got on top of a roof to escape them. Just another great example of lack of duty of care.
Yep.
Like, I understand, like, reprimanding a child for climbing school buildings. It's dangerous for children to be on school buildings and on roofs. Like,
of course.
But, like, why wasn't there punishment for Dudley?
Yeah.
There was nothing.
I can I can specifically remember, like, several primary school assemblies being like, don't climb the trees. If you climb the trees, you're going to get suspended. No climbing of anything ever. So I can absolutely see getting a letter sent home and possibly, like, a several-day suspension for climbing a building. But, like, why was there no investigation into why was he climbing a building? Especially, like, because I imagine little Harry was like, I didn't climb it. I just tried to jump behind the bins and then the wind blew me up there.
I was just running away from Dudley. Yeah. Like, and I just tried to hide behind the bins, but I don't know.
Scene missing. I was on the roof.
Oh, wow. Dudley was once allowed to bring his pet parrot to school.
Okay. Great.
This was at the same time that another student was allowed to bring a real air rifle to school.
So,
what was going on that day? Was it like show and tell or something?
I've realized that I should have Googled this. I'm going to look up what an air rifle is. Is this like a...
I looked it
up. Okay, good. You know. Is it a toy gun for children or is it a real gun for adults?
It's a gun. So okay, it's cool. Like, it's basically like, I saw two definitions. One, it's like a BB gun. Uh-huh. But then again, a BB gun is a gun. It just, instead of using gunpowder, it releases prehensiles with, like, trapped air and stuff like that. So it's a fucking gun.
Projectiles, like, not prehensiles.
Yeah, whatever. Projectiles, you know, like little rubber bullets and pellets. Yeah. So they don't have real bullets in them, like, but it's a gun.
Yeah, it shoots like little plastic pellets, but you can, like, kill birds and shit with it.
Oh, yeah, you can kill a bird and, like...
Probably take out someone's eye easily.
Yeah, you could take some... Like, it's... You could do some real damage. Why was he allowed to bring this? Mm-hmm. And also, it wasn't confiscated for him because Dudley traded the parrot for the gun.
Yeah.
So, it was fine. Weird.
Yeah. I've got to also remind myself that this is the 80s and I don't know what schools were like in the 80s.
The 90s. Oh, true. No, yeah. 80s, late 80s.
Yeah. Because I mean, he left in 91, so it's the 80s, pretty much.
Fucking hell. Like, surely they would have been, like, confiscating girls wearing, like, glittery scrunchies. They're not going to confiscate a gun off a kid.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's like... hard for me to think of a time when it was okay for children to bring guns to school. Like, we're not living in fucking Night Vale. Like, what is this?
One time, a teacher sent Harry home with the punishment of having to write a school report explaining how he turned their wig blue. This is crazy.
How?
This is insane. Imagine being a teacher, and during a lesson or at some point during the day, your wig turns blue.
Uh-huh.
Like, you wouldn't be able to explain how that happens, but somehow you decide to blame it on this child, and then you send them home with homework being like, you have to write a report explaining how you did it. As a punishment. What is that? That's crazy talk. What are you talking about? That's not a thing that can happen.
I've got to assume that what happened here is because accidental magic happens when you lose control. So I've got to assume that this teacher was harassing Harry somehow. And, like, it might have been, like, a, you know, getting in his face and shouting at him and making Harry feel scared. Or it might be, like, a get up and give a presentation to the class and, like, putting a lot of pressure on him. Or it might have just been, like, Harry was angry and frustrated with something. But some sort of confrontation happened between the teacher and Harry. And then... seemingly out of nowhere, the wig turns blue, and now the teacher has got to rationalize that to themselves as, like, before the lesson began, he must have stolen my wig somehow off my head without me realizing and, like, dipped it in some kind of, like, time release dye or something like that. This has got to be an elaborate and planned
prank. It's like the
teacher
from The Incredibles. Like, he moves just before I sit down.
He put the tack on the chair.
Oh my gosh. Last but not least, the headmistress gave Dudley an award for always eating his lunch. Like, okay, this explains a lot, because clearly there's some sort of favoritism for Dudley and his friends, which is why the gang has never stopped and the bullying's never confronted, and why the teachers are participating in punishments for Harry. But it's like, why?
Yeah.
What's the reason? Like, what motive do these teachers have? These seemingly normal muggle people doing their everyday lives and jobs.
Yeah.
What motive do they have to side with a 7-year-old bully and his gang and... dump all this hate on Harry. Like, I get Harry's a bit unusual and weird stuff happens around him, but come on. Like, he's still a kid. Like,
this is why I think, like, POC readings of Harry are just so good and so valid. Because if you could just be like, racism, none of this would be questioned at all. I'd just be like, oh yeah, sure, fits. If you assume that Harry's, like, just a skinny little white boy who's, like, seemingly, you know, like, not wealthy, obviously, but seemingly, you know, neurotypical, straight, cishet, like, what is the reason for turning on this fucking child like this? Doesn't make sense.
Clearly abused child, because he comes to school in ill-fitting clothes, with broken glasses all the time. His glasses have never been fixed, ever. Like, he's jumpy, he's a little bit on edge. Like, clearly this kid is not living well. Like,
twitchy, has, like, the vibe that he gets hunted for sport every day.
It's bad. Like, and all these teachers are like, fuck this kid, I'm ganging up on him, I hate him too. Like,
yeah, these teachers are all, like, Severus Snape motherfuckers, but without the, like, rationalization or motives of Severus Snape. They're doing this, I guess, just out of incompetence or maliciousness. Like, what's up with this?
Yeah, it really seems to me, and this fits into a trend that we'll, I guess, explore, that there's an undercurrent of draconian intolerance and maliciousness amongst all schooling institutions. In this world. School really is, like, in Pink Floyd's The Wall in this universe. Like, for no reason. Because this is a book, a series about school and how great it is to be at school. So, what's, like...
Yeah.
And we've talked about how Hogwarts is flawed, but Hogwarts is clearly, like, the utopia of schools. So, it's...
Yeah. It's my home. It's the magic. I guess magic, by comparison,
they have to make all the other schools look terrible. But they're just the same. They're just... fucked. Harry's just well liked at Hogwarts. That's the difference.
Yeah. I think it's just a result of, like, lots of thematic stuff combining in really weird ways. Like, we know in Harry Potter, all institutions are, like, full of people who are ignorant and outright malevolent, and everything is, like, sort of stacked up against you and the world isn't fair. All that sort of stuff also combined with, like, I'm feeling like there's probably a lot of, like, Britishness that isn't translating perfectly to us as Australian audiences. Like, I know a lot of what JK's writing from is, like, being poor in Britain and, like, the struggles of having to try and deal with government institutions and schooling bodies and all that sort of stuff.
It's a big deal in Britain. Like, it's a big deal everywhere, but I think it's even more pronounced in Britain. So it makes sense why they hated Harry more. Because he looked poor. So that's all I need.
Even though... Yeah, and I know that JK's talked about, like, growing up poor and her mother sending her to school in clothes that don't fit and with haircuts that she had to do at home and all that sort of stuff, which is, like, that bleeds into Harry's childhood. But it doesn't make sense when you line Harry up against Dudley, who gets a million presents every day and is, like, seemingly incredibly well-fed because he gets a certificate for always eating up his lunch. And, yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah.
Like...
It takes on a darker tone in Harry's life versus in JK's life.
Yeah, it really sets off alarm bells for the teachers, because the teachers would know that Harry and Dudley live in the same home. They would know that Harry is being raised by the Dursleys.
Yeah.
So they can see that Dudley is well-fed, well-cared for, he has fitted clothes, and they probably know that he's a bit spoiled because he brings, like, a parrot to school and stuff like that. Like, you know, he gets good presents. And then they see Harry, by comparison, malnourished, not well-dressed, jumpy, scared... Like, this is clearly a case of child abuse, like, and no one's doing shit. No one cares. Yeah.
At the very least, behavioural issues which would lead him to dye a teacher's wig blue, if not, like, something else is going on. Yeah, it is very, very different if you were comparing, like, a child from an underprivileged home versus a child from a very privileged, wealthy home, in the case of Dudley and Harry, versus... two children who seemingly come from those backgrounds being raised in the same home. Like, that's a clear case for abuse. Wild.
It doesn't stop there. Stonewall High, this is where Harry was going to be sent instead of, like, you know, once he graduated from Groggeries, but obviously he went to Hogwarts, so Stonewall High.
Before they knew he was going to Hogwarts, this is where they were sending him.
A state high school. I had to look this up because I wasn't sure of the terminology, but this is a government-funded free education, so a public school in our terms. They had a grey school uniform, very ugly apparently, and apparently on the first day, kids got their heads shoved down the toilet It's a classic. It's a classic urban legend for every high school. I don't know if that's true or just Dudley messing with Harry, but I feel like that's so ubiquitous. But yeah.
Yeah, it's suspect to me that the only source that we have for that is Dudley, a known bully of Harry specifically. Like, either Dudley is making that up to try and mess with Harry, or someone has told Dudley that, and he has not questioned it because he's very stupid, and just been like, oh yeah, I can use this to mess with Harry, and gleefully repeated it's like, it.
Literally everyone under the sun told me that when I was going to my high school. You did. Like, it's a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember being told that, like, so our high school was from year 7 to 11. No, sorry, year 7 to 12. I remember being told, like, all the year 12s pick on the year 7s and, like, it's going to be hell for you. And then,
yeah.
And then getting there and being like, oh, actually, 18-year-olds don't give a shit about 13-year-olds or 12-year-olds or whatever. Like, they just could not care less about you or what you're doing. All they want you to do is get out of the way and don't interrupt them.
The school that Dudley was going to be sent to was called Smeltings Academy. This was a public school, so I looked it up again. This means they had charges and fees, so it's a private school in our terms.
Okay.
The motto for Smeltings is caveat smeltonia, which means let smeltonia beware. What the fuck is this? What does this mean?
Yeah, I had that as well. What the fuck is smeltonia?
What's going on?
What are you talking about?
Why is it called smelting?
What is smeltonia?
If they're saying let smeltonia beware, what is the messaging here? I don't understand. Anyway,
what we don't know, because it's not relevant to Harry's journey, is that Dudley goes on like a Narnia-style adventure to the country of Smeltonia every time he goes away to school.
Smeltonia sounds like a neighbouring country to Genovia that's like an enemy country. Like, it doesn't sound real.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's like in fantasy books where there's like evil countries.
God, classic. The food portions were adequate, according to Vernon, but Petunia disagreed. Does this mean that Petunia went to Smeltings as well? Because we know Vernon did.
No. This is when Dudley has to be put on a diet because the teachers are like, he's too fat, which is a thing that teachers can apparently do at the school. And Petunia's like, oh, they're starving him. They're not feeding him enough on the school lunches when he's away at school or whatever. And Vernon's like, no, they always fed me plenty. And Petunia's like, no, my precious boy. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so it's unclear where Petunia went. Anyway, she was from a different part of England anyway, so whatever. Uniform. A maroon tailcoat. An actual fucking tailcoat. Yeah. Like, can you imagine wearing a tailcoat to school?
Our, like, basic-ass public school education in Australia is so coming through here. Because, like, private schools in Australia had, like, proper uniforms. Proper uniform. As if we weren't in uniform. We wore uniform. No, but it was just shit. But, like, I saw public school students wearing, like, full-on blazers and coats. Yeah. Private school. Private schools in Australia with full-on blazers and coats and, like, little hats and shit that they had to wear, and they all had to wear
socks.
And it's like, also
the
so hot.
And the school shoes, and the socks had to be up to their knee, and the girls couldn't wear skirts that were above the knee and all that sort of stuff, and they had, like, pins and all their blazers from all their activities, and they had blouses and ties and stuff like that. And they had a winter uniform and a summer uniform. This, like, just foreign concepts to me. They had a school bag, like a commissioned school bag, so they all had the same bag. Can you imagine? Like,
yeah. And all that shit comes from England. That's like straight up colonial shit that's happening still in Australia. Whereas public schools are like, it's hot. You can wear shorts and a shirt. They must be blue.
The school uniform at our school sucked. Because, like, all the shorts were made for male bodies. I'll put it that way. So, like, literally, the shorts were just not well-fitting if you wanted to wear them.
Technically girls were allowed to wear them, but it was like frowned upon. You were a lesbian if you wore shorts.
So true. Like, literally, I remember the amount of effort that we put into like choosing our shoes and our backpacks, because it was like our way of like identity. It was our way of showing who we were. Like,
it was the only hair
accessories and nail polish. Like, look, we had it pretty good because we could sort of accessorize as we wanted. They started to try and stop us doing that when I was leaving, and I was like, oh, have fun with that. They started to try and put in skirt length quotas and stuff like that. It was grim.
We also, like, the skirts we wore, by the way, these uniforms were blue and maroon. They were incredibly ugly. The skirts that we wore were too short. Too short, too short, too short. I hated them. I, a larger girl, Yeah. I, a larger girl, was never comfortable with the skirts, so I wore black leggings underneath my skirts every single day, even in summer when it was so hot. I waged a war of wills against every single teacher at that school for years. Yeah. You remember this? Yeah, because I started doing this in, like, year 7 when I would have been 12. And what would happen is, every single day, I would wear these leggings to school, and I would go into school, and the first teacher who saw me would be like, take off those leggings, that's against the dress code. And I'd be like, okay, and I would go to the bathroom, I would take off the leggings. As soon as I could reasonably put them back on, I would put them back on. This would happen several times throughout the day. This happened for a year, every single day, the constant me putting them on, taking them off as soon as I get told. Letters sent home, blah, blah, blah. Mum and dad were like, do whatever you feel comfortable with. After a year, they gave up. And they just stopped. And I proceeded to wear leggings underneath my skirt every single day for 6 years. And the last 5 years of my education, no one said shit to me about it ever. Because they just gave up. Mum called
them. That's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, she called them several times. There was several calls back and forth. This was, like, a whole thing.
You weren't doing anything wrong. They just gave up. It wasn't like they were, like, vibrant or, like, distracting leggings. They were just plain black. Like...
plain black. Yeah, it was literally just because I didn't want to be flashing my ass every time I walked up the stairs.
Every single person. Like,
an actual hazard.
Everyone, no matter their shape or size, was flashing in those skirts. It was ridiculous. Like...
yeah. It was a whole thing. Like, you would have to grab the skirt and hold it to the side of your legs as you walked up and downstairs. And, like, guys would grab your hands and try and stop you. It was like high school. It was hell. This was an actual hazard, like, that all the other girls were putting up with and I was not. Anyway, enough about my battle of wills with the school that I won, because I'm more stubborn than an entire staff of adults combined. It was such bullshit,
too, because, like, come winter, we'd all wear stockings and, like... I'd see girls, including myself, that would wear, like, Technicolor stockings. Like, this was such a time. 2010s, man. Galaxy tights, you know? I had, like, navy stockings that I loved. No one complained about those. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah. In winter, it was totally fine. Nobody gave a shit. The other 3 months of the year... no, sorry. The other 3 seasons of the year, it was a problem.
Anyway.
Anyway.
So...
you were talking about the Smeltings uniform and how it's bullshit.
Orange knickerbockers. I had to actually look this up because I'm like, what's the difference between knickerbockers and just pants or trousers? So, you know, like, in, like, when you watch, like, a movie and it's, like, set in, like, how do I say this? Colonial times? Where they have those fucking stockings and then those, like, poofy trousers that go to their, like, knees and those buckled shoes. Yeah, that's what a knickerbocker is. Yeah. Insane.
Uh-huh. Great. Perfect. Yeah, it's exactly what I was picturing.
A straw boater hat? Look, a straw boater, I kind of vibe with it. It's kind of cute. And a gnarled cane that students use to hit each other with when the teachers aren't looking.
Yes. So...
what?
I feel like in the Harry Potter movies, when we see Dudley in this uniform, they dressed it down a little bit. Because he's in, like, a little suit, but it doesn't sound as absurd as it is when it's described here. I think it's even worse. And fuck the cane. Hells yes. I love this.
Apparently, the whacking with the canes was supposed to be beneficial for the student's future.
Mm-hmm. Preparing them for the future. The future where we all get to whack each other with canes. What I especially love about this is the idea of mandating that all students must carry with them a weapon at all times, and it's specifically a weapon. It has no other use. The intended use is to attack each other with it. I love this, because this contextualizes Hogwarts and the Wizarding World in such a great way. Because we're often like, how do you run a lawful magical society where every single person has a weapon with them at all times? Well... in the Muggle world, there's a school where they encourage that. So it's actually not that weird that Hogwarts is like, everyone carry around a fucking magic gun.
And Smeltings is supposedly a prestigious school. Like, it's a private school. It's like an academy. Mm-hmm. I think it has boarding. Like, it's like quite a rich school is what I got at. What I got from that. fun fact. The uniform seems to be inspired by several English schools. Eton for the tailcoats, Harrow for the boater hats, Hill House for the colour scheme and knickerbocker trousers, and King's School in Canterbury, which have swagger sticks, and I had to look this up. A swagger stick is a short cane with, like, a bauble on the end, And apparently these canes are used in ceremonial dress, so like graduation day at this school, but also carried by school monitors and house monitors.
Oh my god, it's real.
It's real.
Jem, it's real. There's a real school where they like carry this whack stick and whack each other. Yes!
Not to that extent. Yes! They can only have it on like a ceremonial occasion and also the school.
But the prefects and the monitors, Gary!
Yeah. I love that.
Like, oh literally, my god.
I've heard of this as like a myth, right? Like school monitors or house monitors that get a cane. Most often than not, they get the cane as like just a traditional thing. They can't actually use it on any of the students.
Yeah.
But it gives them that sense of authority, right?
Oh, I imagine that's the case. But like... Yeah. It's when the teachers aren't looking. Like, of course they're whacking each other. That's what children do.
Yeah.
You can't put a group of children in a place and give one of them a stick and be like, now everyone be cool about this.
The instant that you give a child any sort of long cane-like thing, they're using it like a lightsaber.
Yeah.
Or they're using it like a sword. They're whacking it around.
The like... fucking chimp instinct. We hit each other with stuff. Gem.
Big stick hit. Like, it's all there.
The reveal of the swagger stick is like taking me back to those early days when we discovered that like children in the wizarding world eat zebra hooves as candy. Like, hells yeah. We've done it again.
I think the best for me is Flubberworm Fritters, because the Flubberworm Fritters thing, if for anyone who doesn't remember, basically in Care of Magical Creatures, the students had to take care of this awful creature called a Flubberworm, which didn't really have what looked like a head or an ass.
It's just and disgusting mucus worm.
Disgusting big maggot, right?
Yeah.
And then all the flutterworms died from the cold or something. Like, they couldn't breathe. They were terrible crop. They just died. But the flutterworms were not put to waste. They were basically sent to the kitchens. The house elves cooked them up into fritters, and they were very unpopular at the house feasts.
Yeah.
It's like a thing that happens. And that just, to me, is like... I know Hogwarts is meant to be like a private school, like a boarding school, but that, to me, is the most public school energy I can describe.
Yeah, disgusting.
It's...
And I've since seen like canonical artwork of those fritters as well, because they feature in the Hogwarts Mystery Game, and they're not like just cakes which you assume have the worms baked into them somehow. They're like fully sprinkled all over there and like embedded in, like, the whole worm. It's not like they were chopped up and used as an ingredient. They're like giant pancakes just full of worms. Awful to look at and think about. Disgusting.
I was imagining like zucchini fritters, you know, where it's like. Like, you have got a brunch. What the fuck?
Like pumpkin bread.
Why do they do things so wrong?
Why?
So frustrating.
You just want to reach into the story and grab every single character by the throat and be like, why are you doing this? And just shake them. Okay.
I have one last muggle school.
Yes.
St. Brutus's Secure Center for Incurably Criminal Boys.
It can't be beaten.
It's simply the best name for a school.
It's simply in its own league.
Incurably Criminal Boys. It sends me every time.
Secure Center as well. Implying that it's like some kind of high security prison. Like some sort of Arkham Asylum bullshit. But then Harry's home for the holidays.
I remember when I brought up this topic to you a couple of years ago. And I'm like, it's not just Hogwarts. All the schools are sick. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm like... St. Brutus's Secure Center for Incurably Criminal Boys. An actual name. And you're like, oh, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
So, this is an institution for the, quote, mentally subnormal, unquote, and violent adolescent males.
Subnormal. So subnormal is so good. It's not abnormal, it's subnormal.
That's so weird.
Worse.
It's unclear, sorry, if Vernon Dursley made this place up, but... because it's potentially he made this place up just as a place that Harry can be going to school at that will impress his sister.
Yeah.
When she comes to visit.
The context for this is that Vernon's sister Aunt Marge is coming to visit in Harry's third year, and Vernon and the rest of the Dursleys don't want her to know that they have a little magic boy in the house, so they tell her that he goes to this St. Brutus's center, and they make Harry substantiate that lie.
Yeah. But then, in the fifth book, when Harry's roaming around Little Whinging, all depressed, the other children in Little Whinging believe that Harry attends this school as well, and they think it's real. So, is it, like, because a rumour, like, I mean, if I thought that there was an incurably criminal boy wandering around, I would be Googling St. Brutus's Center, and if it wasn't real, I wouldn't believe it. But it makes me think it might be real, like an actual place.
I don't know about that, because... it's the children who think that he go there and It's the children who are under the impression that he goes to this school. And that to me has the vibe of when you go to this school, everyone flushes your head down the toilet. It's like the kind of shit that kids say to each other and believe.
But this is the universe that has the most insane schools. It, like, I wouldn't put it past them to have a school like this somewhere where all the incurably criminal boys in England and the UK are just sent to.
Yeah, that does have big Harry Potter energy, that there is just, like, a prison school for criminal boys.
Like, I literally imagine, like the shot of it in, like, a cinematic shot where it's, like, lightning strikes and there's, like, a big gnarly iron fence with, like, the name St. Bruce's on it and stuff.
Like, hanging creakily a wooden sign, and it's up on a hill, and there's all those, like,
danger
leafless trees.
Yeah, it's all dark, you know, gothic. Yeah, it's exactly it.
Yeah.
So, it's apparently a first-rate institution for hopeless cases. Students were customarily disciplined and beaten for misbehavior.
That is something Harry says, though. He says that to Aunt Marge when she's like, do they beat you at this school? And he's like, yeah. Oh, yeah, so, like, that's clearly false because he made it up.
And it's just so funny to me. And that's all I have on the Muggle schools. That's all the Muggle schools we hear about.
I do have one more thing on St. Brutus's, which does lean into the theory that it's not real.
Yeah.
Because St. Brutus isn't real, doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is right, yeah. So, St. Brutus is not an actual saint, but then again, the Harry Potter world, he might be a saint, I don't know.
Well, St. Gregory is also not a saint. Exactly. St. Gregory seems to be based on St. Gregory, which is why we mentioned this, but St. Brutus, it seems like it's based on Brutus, like, from the Roman court, one of the people who betrayed Caesar, and I assume the origin of the word brutal. I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that it comes from his name.
Well, etu brute, like... Yeah. Brute is also, like, a little shit. Like, that's the context of that phrase. Like, it's also, like, and you, brute, like, you, my friend, you betrayed me, but it also means you fuckhead.
Yeah. Like, even you. So I assume that, like, brutal and the idea of a brute comes from Brutus, the Roman senator, who I think was known as being, like, brutal. And, like, a particularly ruthless and violent person. But I'm not sure. It might be the other way around.
Well, I mean... Remembering the play, Julius Caesar, Brutus is kind of the tragic hero of the story. And Cassius is the mastermind, the sneaky little guy in the shadows who's influencing Brutus to betray Caesar. Okay. So I don't know. That just might be Shakespeare's interpretation.
Yeah. I only, like, glanced over this, so I'm not sure. This is mostly off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It's not really conclusive, because, like I just said, St. Gregory is not real, and... a school's based on him. So St. Brutus might be a real person in the context of Harry Potter.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's unknown if St. Brutus' Secure Centre for Incurably Criminal Boys is a real school or not. I want to believe it is, but unfortunately I lean towards it's not.
I like to believe it is. I think
choose to believe that it is. Okay. So let's talk about some of the magical schools now.
Yeah.
So, first of all, JK, as always, loves to say something and then immediately feel the need to justify it with a bunch of extraneous bullshit. The reason why there's so few magical schools is not because she's terrible at math and geography, but because the wizarding populations of most countries homeschool their children rather than send them away to a school.
Sure they do.
Yeah, and when there aren't enough wizards in, like, dense population areas where there's, like, low population spread out, they have correspondence courses as an alternative, which is the same as homeschooling.
No,
so, whatever. Exactly. So
why would you want your children at home? That's where you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Send them to school.
Where I live?
Ew.
No. There are 11 long-established and prestigious wizarding schools worldwide, all of them registered with the International Confederation of Wizards. We just did that a few episodes ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently there are, like, all the time smaller, unregistered schools, like, cropping up, but they always die out. It's just these 11 schools that actually have stood the test of time.
Insane.
And we only know 8 of the Great 11, as they're called, the so fuck? Far. Yeah.
I knew all of them.
Here's the worst part. J.K. Rowling has confirmed that there is a wizarding school Australian wizards may attend, and confirm that information on the school will be revealed in the future.
No, not before we do it.
Yeah, too fucking slow, JK. We're going to get in there first.
We're getting there first, you can't. That's the motto of the school. in
too
Latin.
Slow, bitch. We're doing it. Our school's gonna come out first.
Primus cuntus, something like that.
Okay. So, all the exact locations are a secret. They tend to be in landlocked mountainous areas, but not always. That's because they want to keep them secret from muggles, and also apparently they are often the target of dark wizards during Wizarding Wars. Great. Good to know.
Great.
Okay, go here's for the schools. Beaubatons, French yep. school, located in the mountains of southern France. Students it takes in from France and also Spain, Portugal, Netherlands, Luxembourg, and Belgium. Founded sometime in the 1920s. I'm going to run through all those stats on all of them real quick, but okay. So here are the things about Beauxbatons that are crazy.
It's Beauxbaton.
Beauxbatons. Beauxbatons.
Yeah.
Here are the things beautiful about ones. Beauxbatons that are crazy. It is a beautiful chateau surrounded by majestic gardens and fountains, magically created out of the surrounding mountains. This is going to be a recurring theme. All of these are like, it's some kind of crazy mountain castle.
Which doesn't make sense because isn't that uniform or summery? Mountains are cold no matter where it is. Like,
yeah.
Come on.
It's said that the stunning castle and grounds of the school are founded by alchemist Gold because Nicholas and Pennell Flamel met at Beauxbatons, and the magnificent fountain in the middle of the school's park, believed to have healing and beautifying properties, was named after them.
So Fountain of Youth.
Yeah, there's a Fountain of Youth at this school. Fountain of Youth and fucking healing.
Okay.
And also, what do you mean believed to have healing and beautifying properties? This is a magic... Just test it.
Dunk some ugly, like, little kid in there. Dunk some sick person in. Does it work? No.
Is it a magic fountain or not? Know the truth. You can just check. Anyway.
Maybe it's like, you know, the Fountain of Fair Fortune. Did they mention that?
No.
Hmm, interesting.
It could be that one, though, I guess.
Mm, hard to say.
They are transported around via the carriage, and I would have assumed that that's, like, just for special occasions, but it seems to imply that it's, like, their version of the Hogwarts Express. Like, that's how students get to school. That massive carriage full of... pulled by Abraxans.
So I guess it goes around to Luxembourg, France, all those countries.
Yeah, Belgium.
Santa Claus style.
And collects all the students. Which, all right. like... makes sense because it is huge and they do like sleep and live in there. So there's gotta be sleeping compartments.
I imagine it's like a TARDIS, like, you know, really big on the inside, spacious, all that. But like just the logistics, like getting around to all those countries several times a year, all at once. That's a lot.
And also, like, it straight up says this on the HP Wiki, traveling in an Abraxan horse-drawn giant carriage the size of a house is a breach of the International Statute of Wizarding Secrecy. Great. Perfect. Last thing, in the book, it's suggested that both the male and female students of the school are relatively good-looking.
Just the hotties. All the hotties go here.
No uggos at our school.
No fugglies here. If you are not, like, if your face isn't symmetrical, you're out. You can't sit with us.
Better get used to homeschooling.
Oh, God. I guess you just have to find another school in Europe to go to. Don't worry, there's two more.
Yeah. Europe has so many schools and the rest of the world has so few.
And that's on neocolonialism, babes.
Yeah, hells yeah. Okay, I should have said this at the beginning, but I'm doing my best with the pronunciation of all these. Please be kind to me. I tried. Castelo Brujo. Castelo Brujo. The Brazilian Wizarding School. Located in the Amazon rainforest in northern Brazil. Accepts students from all over South America. Founded over 1,000 years ago, and there's something interesting here. So, the Portuguese colonization of Brazil only started in the 16th century. So if the school's over 1,000 years old, that suggests it was founded by the indigenous peoples 500 years before colonization, when the country was a vast region populated by thousands of tribes of different ethnicities.
Nice.
Very, very cool and interesting. I would assume... that happened because JK did not look up the history of Brazil and was just like, oh yeah, it's 1,000 years old, just like Hogwarts is over 1,000 years old, and didn't actually check that against anything. But 100%. It's very
interesting. She said before that indigenous cultures, at least in North America, like Native American people, do not have magic. So I'd assume
they do have magic, they just didn't have like the vastly superior European system of wand magic and going to a big castle school. They did like bullshit at home, do it with our hands kind of magic.
Grim. Okay. Grim, yeah. Classic. We love to see it.
Yeah. you know, classic racism. Great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I assume that's why that happened, but it is the, the Doyleist explanation for why that happened is JK doesn't know her shit. The Watsonian implications are really, really interesting. This vast region populated by thousands of tribes of different ethnicities banding together the magical populations at least and creating one centralized school that serves all of them. Very interesting.
Very cool.
Very cool. It does sort of tend to imply that, like in other parts of the world, wizards consider themselves separate and separate themselves from their groups and sort of form their own little society, which has implications, but look, it's interesting at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Castello Brujo was an imposing square edifice of golden rock, often compared to a temple.
Right.
Bewitched to appear as a ruin to Muggles, and the school and grounds are protected by capoeira? Is that what this... I was about to say capoeira, but that's the kind of... Isn't that the fighting style?
Oh, yeah. Capybaras, do you mean?
No, it's C-A-I-P-O-R-A.
Yeah, it sounds like capoeira.
Yeah, that's how I've been reading it, but I just... I had a moment of hesitation before I said the word, and now I'm scared. Protected by some kind of native Brazilian spirit, apparently.
Okay, cool.
Which is like JK's classic thing of, you know, take part of the mythology and adapt it into a Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
They're protected by, like, effectively more legit, not more legit, more extreme poltergeists.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. Nice.
We know that there is a pen pal and exchange student program set up between here in Hogwarts because Bill talks about having a pen pal who he wanted to go on exchange, but his parents couldn't afford it, so his pen pal sent him a cursed hat that shriveled up his ears. Great.
That's good.
The students are particularly advanced in herbology and magizoology. And,
I suppose, like, you know, having a school in the Amazon rainforest, the green basin might do that, you know?
Yeah, that lines up for me. That's everything I've got about that. Durmstrang.
Cool.
This one, for all the schools, we don't know exactly where they are, but for this one especially, we got no fucking idea what this is. Located in the far north of Europe, possibly Scandinavia, JK has said the far north of either Sweden or Norway, and other people have theorized that it might be in Svalbard.
Yep.
We don't know where the school is.
Cool.
We know the school is willing to accept international students from as far afield as Bulgaria, but there's no actual, like, demographic stated. Like, all the other places are like, we accept students from these countries. This one, we don't know. We do know that they don't admit Muggleborns.
It's only the Uggos, I guess. The Uggos that get rejected from Durmstrang, and the ones that aren't in the UK, I guess, they're just like, all right, I guess I'll go to Durmstrang. Sorry, get rejected from Beauxbatons, I guess. Yeah.
It seems like they accept students from all over Europe, but we don't know for sure. Because we don't know where it is. Normally we can be like, oh, it's the French school. It accepts French students. But here we're not sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's existed since at least 1294. It isn't a castle, but we know that it's much smaller and less impressive than the Hogwarts castle. It's only 4 stories tall. They only light the fires for magical purposes. But we know it has very extensive grounds surrounded by lakes and mountains, and the students like to go flying and shit in the summer.
They only light the fires for magical purposes. That makes me think maybe it's built over some kind of hot spring or something under the ground that keeps the floors warm, because otherwise they'd be freezing their asses off.
Yeah, I thought the implication was that they were freezing their asses off. Because this comes from a conversation with Crumb and Hermione, when Crumb's basically like, this castle's fucking great. Ours sucks shit. It's cold and miserable and I hate it there.
Yeah, look.
But it's great for flying. Yeah.
Maybe the teachers' quarters have, like, heated floors and stuff, but the rest of it's, like, not.
Yeah.
Because, like, that's what it's like, in Denmark and stuff, people have, like, their houses are insulated and heated so that, like, all the floors are naturally heated and stuff like that.
Like, well, like, we don't know much about Durmstrang, but we do know that this is based on an analysis of the uniforms compared to Beauxbatons' uniforms.
Yeah.
It really seems like it's less of a school and more of a military academy. All the other schools seem like they're, like, private fancy schools. This one seems like a military academy. And that makes sense because we know that it emphasizes martial magic and dueling as a part of its curriculum, and also has a bad reputation for teaching dark magic. So, it seems far more austere and, like, militaristic than other schools.
Yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me if they're like, everyone has to sleep in the cold and the dark because it's going to make you tough.
Yeah. It also wouldn't surprise me if, like, oh, you've got, like, a troubled youth under your roof. Like, we suggest you send them to Durmstrang to straighten them out. Just like military schools.
Yeah. We are, like, the equivalent of St. Brutus's Centre for Incurable Criminal Boys. That's what it says on the Durmstrang brochure.
God, amazing.
Okay, next school is Hogwarts. I'm not going to talk about Hogwarts. Yeah, listen to our other episodes.
Yeah.
Ilvermorny. The American Wizard School, located on Mount Greylock in Massachusetts. This is the most specific location for a school we have out of everything else. Like, we know the fucking mountain where it is. You could go there.
Yeah, they're not scared of anyone coming for them.
We have so much more information on this than any other school. I know exactly what happened here. JK wanted to do, like, a big reveal of all the schools and all of their cool shit and blah, blah, blah. She wrote up the whole history of this. You read it.
Yeah.
All the information about this, and then received a massive, massive backlash from people because it was ill thought out and racist. And then was, like, back down and was like, oh, actually, I don't want to tell anyone about the magical schools anymore because they got mad at me and I hate that. Yeah. I can't stand
criticism.
They got
mad at me for America. Imagine how they're going to react to my Japanese school. Holy shit.
Like, since then, we've only gotten, like, a paragraph of information about every other school because she chickened out. So anyway, founded in 1692 by Irish immigrant Isolt Sayre, I don't know how to pronounce that name. And her nomad husband, James Stewart.
Sorry, how's it spelled?
S-A-Y-R-E. Sayre?
Sersha? No. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of names and words that I don't know how to say. I'm very sorry. It was basically just their house. Like, she just married this nomad guy, and then they had two sons. Oh, no, sorry. Adoptive children. Yeah, they adopted two sons, Chadwick and Webster. Yeah. And then they needed to educate these people. They were like, oh, should we go back to Ireland and go to Hogwarts? And she was like, no, we'll teach you here. So they just set up their home as a school, started teaching their sons. And then, like, people from the surrounding areas, several of which were from the local Native American tribes, are like, please teach us as well, which is great. So the school expanded and grew, and then it eventually became, like, the largest school, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so the castle was once the Granite Stone House, constructed by the founders to be their home. It's every single one is a castle. They're all castles.
Okay.
Yeah. Named after Isolt's childhood home in Ireland. When it eventually became a school, the house kept expanding until it became a castle. Not how castles are built.
Castles are very purposeful. You can't just accidentally build one.
Accidentally. Imagine if you just kept adding rooms onto the borough and eventually, like, oh shit, it's a castle now. It'd be
so much cooler if it was like the Winchester House, you know, where it's like all these weird rooms and doors that go to nowhere and it just keeps building and building and building.
Fuck,
like, that'd be
way
cooler. But
that should be the Winchester House. Hells yeah. Like, that would be such a cool magical school for America. Yeah. Hells yeah. Anyway. Concealed by enchantment, so it looks like a misty cloud. Yeah. There's, like, a whole complicated story about a magical attack, blah blah blah. But I'm just pulling from the end of the story here. Isolt's wand, because the other founder was a muggle, was disabled by some kind of Parseltongue curse and then buried outside in the grounds. Within a year, a snakewood tree grew from the ground where it was buried. Any attempts to kill or prune it were unsuccessful, and it was kept after it was discovered that the tree contained powerful medicinal properties. It's a cool magic tree there.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah. This school also has four different houses, just like at Hogwarts, which were created by the two founders and their sons. So the four founders effectively picked the houses. Mm-hmm. I'll go through those in a sec. When students start their education at Ilvermorny, they step onto a Gordian knot on the floor in the center of the entrance hall with large wooden statues of the mascots of the four houses facing them. The carved statues would react if they wanted a student in their house. If more than one carving tried to select the same student, the student can pick which house they want to be in. And once a generation, basically, all four statues pick the same student and they get to choose from all four houses.
Divergent.
Yeah. The subjects it teaches are Defense Against Dark Arts, Charms, Transfiguration, Potions, Xylomancy, which is a kind of twig-based divination, Arithmancy, Ancient Runes, Creature Care. I'm going to go through the houses real quick because it's notable because no other school has houses because I guess JK was like, oh shit, you guys hated that, right?
Yeah, you hated that.
You hated that. So the four houses are the Horned Serpent, represents the mind of the witch or wizard, favors scholars. The Wampus Cat represents the body, favors warriors. Thunderbird represents the soul, favors adventurers. And Pukwudgie represents the heart, favors healers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the ripoff of Gryffindor, Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Hufflepuff, basically.
It's more like Divergent.
It is more like Divergent. And yeah, it's just like, what if I did the thing that you all loved about Hogwarts again in America with no thought of translating for cultural context and, oh, everyone hates it? I don't understand why. Time to go and have a cry about it. I'm J.K. Rowling.
Time to go down an alt-right pipeline because everyone hates me for what I did with my American version of a school.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo. Pull out the tiny violins.
Everyone was mean to me. Time to get radicalized and take it out on trans people.
Mm.
Okay.
That's so hard for me. Millionaire. Yeah.
Now, here's a word that I really don't know how to pronounce.
Okay.
Koldovstorets.
How's it spelled?
Koldovstorets.
Stor-et-z. It's hard to picture it in my brain.
Yeah. It's the Russian wizarding school. You can look it up if you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Koldovstorets. I think that's how it's pronounced.
Koldovstorets. Okay, we'll call it that.
Yeah. The Russian Wizarding School, located in Russia, don't know any more about it from that, and we don't know where it accepts people from. So this is another one that we have basically no information for. All we know is it's in Russia. Another one in Europe. Yeah, another one in Europe. We know that it possibly accepts the Muggle-born students that Durmstrang does not. Once again, that's just building off our knowledge from Durmstrang. We don't know this. And okay. Also possibly accepts students from Asia that don't attend Mahatokoro, yeah. The Japanese school.
Yeah.
We know nothing about this school.
Okay. Where is it? Well, we don't know where it's positioned, but it's in no. Russia. So yeah, it could feasibly Korea, China.
It could be literally anywhere in Russia, yeah, okay. But somewhere that, with the mountains, I assume.
Hmm. Okay.
All we know about this school is that the students play a version of Quidditch where they fly on entire uprooted trees instead of broomsticks.
That's fucking awesome.
Fucking awesome and also wild and also does not line up with everything that we know about broomsticks and how they work.
It's got to be in buttfuck nowhere then, because
yeah,
the trees are moving.
Would like, have to be surrounded somewhere by forests and mountains.
Yeah, insane.
I would assume Russia's north. I shouldn't guess that. I know nothing about Russia, its geography.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Mahatokoro. Now, the pronunciation of this one is kind of a thing.
Okay.
Because the official pronunciation on the Pottermore website is fucking wrong. It's like, yeah, I didn't even write it down, but it was like Mahutukoro or something like that. And it was just, it's like got the word hutu in there, which is no.
Let me and look up how it's spelled. Mahotokoro. Yeah. That'd be
Mahotokoro. Yeah, the actual Japanese pronunciation, because I did like a little bit of Japanese in school. I know enough to know the alphabet. It should be Mahotokoro. Mahotokoro, which would be Mahotokoro.
Mahotokoro, yeah, exactly.
Mahotokoro, yeah. This is one that I can pronounce. I know, like I said, I know enough to know the alphabet. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the Japanese school. It is located on the topmost point of the volcanic island of Minami Iwo Jima.
Nice.
It has the smallest student body of all the magical schools and is also one of the oldest schools. We don't have a founding date. So
smallest student body, so maybe only Japan?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. As far as we know, this is the only Asian school, and we don't know if it accepts students from anywhere other than Japan, but I would say no, because mathematically it can't.
Mm.
So we only know 8 of these 11 schools. I've got to assume that at least there's one more in Asia, probably in China. Just has to be.
Yeah.
Because you can't have the only Asian school with the smallest population, considering some of the largest population centers in the world are in Asia.
Yeah, so wait, there's no school in Southeast Asia? There's no school in South Asia?
This is the only one that we've got. We've got this one and the Russian school called Koldovstorets or whatever I said it was called.
Fuck off. There's no way.
Yeah, it can't. Yeah. It just doesn't work. So, yeah, we've got, 3 missing schools, 9, 10, 11. One of them's Australian. I've got to assume another one is in Asia somewhere. But anyway, Mahatokoro. It is an ornate and exquisite palace made of nephrite or mutton fat jade and translucent white stone. Both island and palace are thought to be uninhabited by muggles. I don't know if that lines up with real world Japanese geography or not. I don't know if this is a real island.
Okay.
The school takes students from the age of 7 and keeps them until 17, so 10 years of schooling, but they do not board until they are 11. While they are day students, so from the ages of 7 to 11, wizarding children are flown back and forth to their homes every day on the backs of a flock of giant storm petrels. Birds.
That's fucking sick. That's
that
awesome.
Is sick. And also definitely says to me that it only takes Japanese students because you can't have students There's flying no to India or whatever every day.
Yeah.
Crazy.
No. Gotta be just Japanese students.
It's gotta be just Japan. Even then.
Yeah, those birds are gotta be super fast, and obviously, like, muggles can barely see them, I'm guessing. Like, they must look like a cloud.
It's just gotta be magic shit, because you can't, like, imagine how many birds there would be flying to Tokyo every single day.
Yeah.
Like, just the population. Okay, anyway, whatever. JK does not know math or geography or the history of other countries, and she refuses to learn.
She doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's fine. Tokoro has the reputation of an impressive academic prowess and outstanding reputation for Quidditch. So there's a bunch of shit about Quidditch in this school that I've got to read to you. It's so great.
Cool.
Quidditch was introduced to Japan centuries ago by a band of foolhardy Hogwarts students blown off course during an attempt to circumnavigate the globe on wholly inadequate broomsticks. First of all, great. So many stuff here is great.
They got all the way to Japan?
To Japan? Crazy. Rescued by a party of wizarding staff from Mahatokoro, who had been observing the movements of the planets, they remained as guests long enough to teach their Japanese counterparts the rudiments of the game, a move they lived to regret.
Fuck yeah.
It was because of the Hogwarts students teaching them Quidditch that Japan beat them in the Quidditch World Cup, due to Japan practicing in bad weather, dodging not only bludgers but also muggle planes.
Amazing.
I've got this part expanded. So every member of the Japanese national Quidditch team attributes their incredible success in the Championship League to the grueling training they are given at school, where they practice over a sometimes turbulent sea in stormy conditions, forced to keep an eye out for not only bludgers but also planes from the Muggle airbase on a neighbouring island.
Wow. Oh, that'd be, American airbase. Wow.
Yeah. They literally have to practice over, like, stormy oceans where they drown if they fuck up and dodge, like, military planes.
Fuck. Go hard or go home, I guess.
Yeah. Like... Hells yeah. This is so cool. Now.
This is like how when America colonized Japan, they introduced baseball, and now, like, in Japan, baseball or yakku is just way cooler than American baseball and better and more fun and interesting.
I didn't draw that allegory, but I bet that's what it's based on.
Yeah, yakku.
Yeah, hells yeah, that's awesome. Okay, here's my favorite thing possibly for any muggle, for any magical school at all.
Mm-hmm.
The robes.
Yes.
When students start off at the school, they're given robes that grow as they grow and change color as the wearer gains experience. Pink is the beginning color. If the wearer receives top grades in all the school subjects, their robes turn gold. Any student who betrayed the Japanese wizard's code or practiced dark arts would result in their uniform turning white, which was a huge disgrace, and the student in question would be immediately expelled. That's dope. Hells yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah.
That's so cool.
I feel like definitely JK based that off karate, like the belts and the, like, as you go up in like levels, you go from white to yellow, etc.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Definitely, but it is a really cool concept of like the robes draining of color if you're basically ostracized, and like just all the different colorful robes and beautiful like robes that would be there. It's really cool.
Also, I love this no tolerance policy for dark magic. Yes. Way better than Hogwarts system of let's put all the cunts in one house and let them like fester and make each other worse.
Yeah, bully each other and bully the other houses. It's
bullshit. Best school. Okay, last one. This is another one that I cannot pronounce. I think it's Ugado. Okay. The Ugandan Wizarding School, located in the Mountains of the Moon in western Uganda. The largest of the 11 wizarding schools, accepts students from all over Africa, at least 1,000 years old. Yeah, it's the singular African school.
There is one school in all of Africa.
Uh-huh. At least four in Europe, if we're counting the Russian school.
Four.
And
what about
one
the
in Africa.
Kids in the Middle East. What about What about the Pacific Islands of children?
Uh-huh. Yeah. There's many questions.
They were Caribbean, like...
4 in Europe, 1 in Asia that only exceptions from Japan, 1 in Northern Europe, 1 in Northern America, 1 in Southern America, 1 in Africa. Perfect. You did it, JK. You're a genius.
That's all the countries of the world. She did it.
All you had to do would be like, here are some wizarding schools.
Yeah,
they are not
just
all of the wizarding schools.
Literally. She could have been like, every country has one school or several schools, depending on the size of the country and the population. But here are the, like, 10 that I'm going to tell you about.
Yeah.
You know? Fuck.
Here are the 10 biggest, most prestigious schools.
Most oldest.
Yeah.
Like,
schools, the biggest and most prestigious schools. There's a shitload of other schools that you're not going to hear about. Because I don't have time to describe every single school. But here's some. God. He is an American school, and here's some differences between America and Hogwarts. We know, also, all the way through fucking book four... Sorry, I'll come back to the African school in a second. All the way through book four, Beauxbatons, Durmstrang, and Hogwarts are described as the three largest European schools, implying that there's even more than those three.
Oh my god. Hold on, let me just Google something.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I know where
population
Uganda
of the Earth.
Where Uganda is on a map in Africa. Let me just have a look at this. Because I bet you anything she put it in the middle of Africa.
I was going to say, smack that in the middle. You want to put money on that? Because that's what I'm betting.
Check. Africa.
Or,
can I see what I
country
see?
With a lot of mountains. Also Google African
country mountains.
Yeah,
it's basically in the middle of Africa.
Fuck yes.
A little bit to the
perfect.
Right. I fucking knew she would. Knew she would do that.
Can you also do me a favor and Google African country with mountains?
Okay. Maybe I'll just do Uganda mountains. Yeah, I can see them. Because I think they're like the most populous country in Africa. Maybe it's Nigeria? I'm not sure. Let me double check. So you think, anyway.
I'm genuinely surprised that it wasn't Egypt, because that's like the African country
you're
that
right.
people know.
Country... in Africa.
And you could have been like, it's inside one of the pyramids.
It's Nigeria.
I'm problematic.
Right. The most populous country is Nigeria, I was correct.
Uh-huh,
let's see, mountainous countries in Africa.
You got it. Uganda's got to be there. Top three at least, baby. Come on. Give it to
me. Let's go. Kenya, Kilimanjaro. Oh, they're listing the actual mountains, and I want the countries.
No, I want mountainous countries.
Tanzania, Kenya, Uganda. Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Number three, Mount Stanley.
Absolutely, she pulled up.
Well, she actually, it says Uganda and Democratic Republic of Congo. It must go over the border.
Uh-huh.
But there you are.
She pulled up a map of Africa and Googled
went to the middle.
Mountain countries in Africa and was like, oh, look, that one's in the middle. Perfect. I did it. Pat on the back. Love rolling around in my big pile of millions of dollars. Billions of dollars. Fuck yeah, I'm JK Rowling. Anyway. Visitors to the school spoke of the stunning edifice carved out of the mountainside and shrouded in mist, so that it sometimes appeared to float in midair. So lazy with the description of this castle that all we know is that it's there and in the castle, in the mountains.
Oh,
didn't even tell us what kind of stone it's made out of like she did with every other one. Anyway. Students are famously skilled in astronomy, alchemy, and self-transfiguration. Wands were primarily European invention, although African wizards did adopt them as useful tools.
Adopt them during colonization, okay?
Yeah. Preferred to cast spell. Students preferred to cast spells simply by pointing their fingers or through other types of hand gestures. This technique gave them a sturdy line of defense when accused of breaking the International Statute of Secrecy, because they could say they were making a random gesture and not intending to do magic. Cool. Here's my favorite part about this. Students receive notice of acceptance through dream messengers sent by the headmaster or headmistress of the day. The dream messenger appeared to the child as they slept and would leave a token, usually an inscribed stone, to be found in the child's hand upon waking.
Nice.
Ugardo was
super efficient.
Ugardo was the only school that employed this method of student notification. I assume that dream messages are like a thing in maybe Ugandan, some kind of African folklore or mythology that JK has co-opted.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look that up though.
Yeah.
At an international symposium of animagi held in or around 2016, a Ugardo school team attracted a lot of press when their display of synchronized transformations nearly caused a riot. Many older and more experienced witches and wizards felt threatened by teenagers who could transform at will into elephants and cheetahs. And Adrian Tutley, whose animagus form was a gerbil, lodged a formal complaint with the International Confederation of Wizards. Racist!
Racist!
Racist.
Adrian. Shut the fuck up. You're just jealous.
You're just jealous.
It's not their fault they can turn into an elephant. Their personality's better than yours, you fucking gerbil.
Yeah. I know why you're a gerbil, cunt. Also, feeling threatened by the fact that teenagers could transform at will. Get fucked. Fuck off.
It's definitely... That's fucking colonialism. They feel straight threatened up that a bunch of kids from an African country were able to do something so impressive.
Yeah, can harness, like, a powerful, complicated form of magic that European wizards can't. There's only, like, 7 animagus in all of Britain or whatever.
Fucking
fuck off. So there's one last thing here. The etymology of this school, I did look up the notes on the etymology of all the previous schools, which I didn't read out loud, because once again, it's me reading a lot of words that I don't know how to say. But basically, every other school translates to some variation of magic place or magic house or wizard huts or some bullshit. Except for Beauxbatons, which is beautiful wands. But this one, straight up, there's nothing on the etymology for this. It's like a possible variation of the spelling of a couple of different places in Africa, but every other place is like word for magic or wizard and word for place or castle, and this one doesn't.
You'd think she'd even, like, if she's going to put it in Uganda, she'd look up the, like, the primary language there and try and do something with magic or spirit or something like that. Like, just anything supernatural.
No, but it seems like there's, like, 4 or 5 different places that are some sort of variation of Ugado, and it seemed like she just bastardized the spelling of one of those places, and that's what the school's named after. Which is weirdly shitty.
It feels very haphazard and just dismissive.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like I said, it's the only one like that. Like, Beauxbatons I get because obviously Beauxbatons and Durmstrang were created for the fourth book, so a little bit more thought went into those, and Hogwarts, obviously. But every other place is like the local native language of the place, Wizard House.
Yeah.
And this one, just no, it's not that, it's something else. It's like she couldn't be bothered to look up the local language or something. Weird. It's weird. It's a weird call.
It's so odd.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So why are the schools like that?
Yeah, look, my main point was, like, all the Muggle schools and are just matching with Hogwarts in terms of being draconian and weird and, like, had these strange rules that were ultra disciplinary and punishing.
Yeah.
We can't really talk about the other magical schools in that aspect because we don't know much about their discipline. We know a bit about Maho Tokoro and the fact that they're very strict about dark magic. We also know about their sport, which is, you could argue, draconian, making children go over treacherous seas and near aeroplanes. That's a bit fucked.
Fits into the narrative. For a little bit of context on this episode, back when the Ilvermorny update first came out, we basically decided that what we were going to do was wait for the updates on all the other schools, which didn't really come out because she chickened out, like we said. Wait for the updates on all the other schools and then do a mini series and do an episode on every single school and, like, really unpack it. And this episode is kind of what that one would have been if this series had run forever, but we're running out of time. So I definitely wanted to go through all the schools and what we know about them and just get, like, a quick overview of all magical education in the Harry Potter world that we know of so far, especially leading into our closing mini series, which is going to be about Magical Australia and talking about our ideas for the Australian Magical School. So I just wanted to explore all of this, even if we didn't draw any actual conclusions from it. But look, we think we did draw some conclusions from it. Why are the schools like that? Because all of them were born out of the mind of JK.
So when it comes to why are the schools like that for the international magical schools, I think the like that we can refer to is why they're so stereotypical. Why is the essence of each of these schools, like, part of these weird stereotypes that come from neocolonialism and Eurocentrism? Well, that's because they were made up by JK, and she is a Eurocentric neocolonialist who doesn't think about her fucking actions and doesn't have any cultural sensitivity and didn't think to ask people from the cultures that she's writing about for their opinions and to get them to come up with ideas. No, she just wrote something off the top of her head based off racial stereotypes.
Yeah.
So that's the like that for those schools.
Straight up one of the most financially successful authors of our age. couldn't afford to get sensitivity readers in look over her work. No. Yeah, why are they like that? Because all of them are an attempt to create what she thinks is successful about the Hogwarts model, which I guess is Magic Castle and not much else, and replicate it, just sort of like transplant it all over the world with no real consideration of the cultural context of the places that she was looking at. And especially not the population math or like geographic centers of any of the places she was looking at.
Like, the fact that there's one school in Asia, and it's in East Asia, and it's specifically in Japan, and it only has Japanese students, is just such a fucking insane thing to me, as someone who lives in the Asia Pacific. Like, I cannot...
Yeah.
It doesn't math, it doesn't compute in my brain. It just comes from this place of such cultural ignorance that it makes me furious.
it reads to me like somebody who hears the word Asia and like the only countries they can list are like China and Japan. And they're like, well, China's a political mess, so I don't want to comment on that. So I'll just write a Japanese school and I'll only include the things that I know about Japan. Because most of my fan base
is in Japan. We have a Harry Potter world in Japan.
Yeah. I've got a large Japanese fan base, so we'll cater to that and we'll do a Japanese school and then just not touch anything else to do with Asia because it's too complicated and I don't want to think about it.
Like, it's literally, it's also like, I know if she even said like, oh, there's like one school in every country. The thought of there being like one school in a country like Indonesia, you know, an archipelago that has a complex history, multiple islands, geography and population spread out.
Yeah.
Like, there would not be one school in Indonesia. You're wrong.
Yeah.
There wouldn't be one school in India. There wouldn't be one school in Korea. There wouldn't be one school in Australia. Like, you're just wrong, bestie. It just infuriates me.
Yeah, and like...
like...
where she also obviously doesn't understand the difference between a country and a continent.
Oh.
Like, Africa. Africa is the worst example, but also Southern America. Northern America.
Yeah.
Like, I know Northern America is a country, but also, there's too many fucking things.
What about Canada, bestie? Like,
yeah.
Where do the Canadians go?
Yeah, exactly. They don't have a school.
Bretons? The east side of Canada?
Canada. Canada is an example of one of those countries where the wizarding population is too low and spread out to justify a school. So they all do homeschooling and, what is it called? Correspondence courses. But Australia... by contrast, Australia has a need for one centralized school that I'll tell you about in the future, besties. Anyway.
I bet you anything she'd be like, oh, the Australian school is on top of,
Uluru.
Quote unquote, Ayers Rock.
Ayers Rock, of course. Like, of course, Ayers Rock. Yeah, no, I would bet like almost anything that I owned that if we get the Australian school... if she doesn't just chicken out, it's going to be an Ayers Rock or something to do with Ayers Rock.
She'll definitely say Ayers Rock too.
Yeah.
I'll
talk about that more. It's Uluru. I will talk about that more in my Australian schools episode. You're not invited, Jem. When we do Australian schools, I will definitely talk about setting or putting the school in Uluru because it's something that I have seen happen in more than one HP fanfic. I've also seen the ministry put there.
Oh, and my God.
Yeah, it's no reason? Good. It's no good, besties. We can't be doing that like, for reasons that I will explain. Don't worry about it. It's coming.
So why are the schools like that? Because J.K. Rowling did that to us. Because
J.K. Rowling's like that.
She is like that. I've been Jem. And, yeah, I mean... I don't know where I'd go to school. I guess we'll design it ourselves, and I'm super keen for that.
Yeah. I'm excited for our school. Watch us fall into all the exact same pit traps, but then expertly climb our way out of them. I've been Rhea, and this is possibly the only episode where our introduction about magical education actually was true.
Thanks for listening. If you want to support us or get in touch, the links to our social media and Patreon are in the show notes. Please feel free to send us so many messages that we go mad and run away to a hut on a rock in the middle of the sea just to avoid them. You'll hear from us again in 2 weeks' time.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.